He broke his chair and what happened? He fall down, go boom?
Yeah, he did that.
He did that? Say something. Say hello. Say hello. Don't you talk, see? Hello, Daniel.
Hello.
Judy.
Yesterday I got some notes from, and I'm going to the circus tomorrow, and I want to bring some money so I can get some popcorn and stuff.
Daniel, you know you're not supposed to touch. And what are you going to see at the circus?
Lions and tigers and elephants.
Who are you going with?
My school.
Oh, your whole school's going. You, huh? Well, listen, you can talk, you can touch something. Stop this rumbling. You can talk. Why don't you talk?
Well, you can say something. Well, you can say something.
No. But did you find him?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's home. Yeah. He might talk.
He might? I never heard such indifferent people debate on him. But if he isn't, I'd like to get somebody else. I don't want to waste that ticket. Some people would be nuts to go to that. He doesn't know if he is?
He said he would.
Well, you said he might.
Now we We've had some very fine people come here from them. We've learned a great deal from some of them. We've learned a great deal from the worst of them, in fact. I don't want anybody to say, I'm not speaking a little bit facetiously, but on the way down we talked about Andy. Now Andy and Owen, to even mention Andy's name in central Wisconsin is to make some people mad, see. But yet every person, even the ones that I get the maddest at Andy's name, will tell you that Andy came to our local one time there when we had a meeting and explained the whole question of chauvinism to us. And there isn't a person that will tell you that the things he learned that night were something that is always stayed with him. So I say that about but the outsider can always see things that, and he sees it with a broader perspective than a guy that's right here all the time. But there's some things also that he can't see. And he hasn't got the traditions. But for instance, Andy, he committed to Harry Carey on our whole movement here when during the Wallace campaign. We organized a progressive party. Well, in Wisconsin has some progressive traditions. We've had the progressive movement here for years under the old Obama. And take it from me, the Follett movement was not all that movement. It was an anti-monopoly movement. It was a movement of common people. I know I was raised on the idea that when I was a kid, I was just taught that there's only two things that couldn't do wrong. That was God and the Follett. Since we grew up, we got doubts about God, but we never really thought as much about the Follett. Well, Andy comes here, what he tells us. Well, it was, and then we will have a progressive party all over the country, but not in Wisconsin. We don't want to be any, we don't want anybody to think that we're at any relation to this old progressive movement. In Wisconsin, we're going to be the People's Progressive Party. So, if you'll pardon me, we were the PPs in Wisconsin. We got PPs. So, you see, Andy, I'd bring out this wolf. Andy did some positive things, but there were some things he just couldn't help. Well, I should have...
Damning with things first.
I should have explained this. Well, you just lived it, see, and you used to speaking a lot. Now you farm. You milk the cows. Well, you can think about anything. And you think a great deal of all the things of it. You drive that old tractor, and you clean the barn. Whatever you do, you have time to think, and you have nobody to talk to, see. So you, your mind is all cluttered up with thought, but you lose the power of putting it in the nice half sentences, you see. Our sentences might be such that we deviate a little bit. They're not always the best expression, so I didn't mean any personal backhanded compliment. I meant a real, genuine compliment when I was speaking out to you. It's just the difficulty I find with putting some of my ideas in speech.
Dear Grandpa, this is not only a letter to you who have been dead for 20
is a letter to what you stand for. Today, I walked up to the federal building and watched them fingerprint and register the form for. And I watched them standing in line, waiting, bewildered, anxious, and hurt. Women with babies in their arms, old men, old women, middle-aged women, a Catholic nun, timber workers, farmers, and if they were alien to America, one could not see it in their homespun faces, for they were the stuff that America's made of. I watched them lift the live, worn, work-worn hand of a Scandinavian farmer and make the print of his fingers, one by one. If he were alien to America, one could not see it, for he seemed like any one of the millions of Scandinavian farmers who settled the prairies of the Middle West. I looked at his blue eyes and the sunburned furrows in his face, and then I turned away, sick and ashamed. Oh, Grandpa, I thought, what are they doing to your America? I remember you, Grandpa, with your little parched yellow face and your dry hands. Your body seemed so old, yet your hair was thick and black, and your dark eyes were bright and alive, like the eyes of a boy. I remember you had two weaknesses, candy and reading matter. Your body still craving the sweets denied to a poverty-stricken childhood. No licorice gumdrops or lollipops were safe from your bright, crying eyes. Nor was any package in violet that was wrapped in a newspaper or a magazine. I remember my mother's mingled amusement and irritation when she came into the kitchen one morning and slipped on a fish, falls naked on the floor, while you leaned over the table where it had been, completely oblivious, reading the smelly newspaper it had been wrapped in. You would lure me into the living room and sit me down and try to teach me history and languages and shake your head sadly when I preferred to run and play. In the old world, girls did not have to know anything, you would sigh. Your mother wanted to learn, but I would not teach her. We used to say a woman's hair is long, but her sense is short. But that was in the old world. This is a new world, my daughter. Here a woman must know as much as a man, for the things are different here. This is a new world. You love this country. You hopped about on your spry old legs, chuckling over it as if it were some personal discovery of yours. The slightest criticism of it, you took as a personal affront. You gloated over the new immigrants. Well, were things like this in your country? Well, where did you ever see such a thing as this in your country? Whether it was Arden's first apple or a Lake Superior herring or such an abstract thing as freedom. You would demand a comparison. Well, did you ever see a thing like this in the old world? Now, I'm not going to finish.
Richard's
voice. Oh,
yeah. Happy already?
She's changed so since I've seen her.
And since we were here last October?
It's Saturday then.
Oh, yeah.
And we just went here. See, we was gonna get married. I didn't want a big wedding, and I didn't either. I thought, heck, if I had a big wedding, I'd have to do most of the work. So we just went to the minister's in the house and got married. He said, if you don't want to have it in the paper, see, they'll publish it the same day.
Oh,
no, on the paper, he said, don't go and get, tell him not to get his license till just before noon on Saturday. It won't be until Monday.
Oh,
so it wasn't. And I guess our stepmother, she kind of suspicioned it, but she looked in the paper. It wasn't there, so she's actually. So they couldn't get till the 1st of July. And I said, what do we do? Change our wedding date? And I said, no, let's get married anyhow. So then he rode up to Lake Ida and asked for a reservation there. So we went there a week before. Then we went out with a bunch after that. But we would have got married and gone with him and not said we were married at all, you know. And I tell them in town, you used to sell up the ice in the court.
You walked 5 miles and tell them.
And carried both of that fire truck, carried it in the milk cans when I come home. One man said to me, "My, you would ever live to be old if you keep on like that." Sometimes I was right up here. Every day I went to school. I went to Holland School. You know where Holland School is in Minneapolis? Every day I got late to school. And see, I didn't live in the city limits anymore, and I wanted the city schools in the city limits, so I give my address to 2501 Taft Street, Northeast. And you know where we live?
Yeah.
And that's what, excuse me, that's your address now. We live in Minneapolis. So I finished the 8th grade in Minneapolis that way. Every day I came right to school, and then the teacher, they had a contest on to see what class could be on time every day. And then the teacher said, "Well, Lisa, don't count because she comes late every day."
Well, my father used to drive 4 horses from Minneapolis, and he used to give her a ride every once in a while. He always used to talk about her and her getting all that milk.
This building today. We are gathered today to reenact the Moldy wedding ceremony that took place 40 years ago. At that time, Lena was young and foolish, and Archer was brave and foolish. So they embarked on the ship that hasn't got wrecked yet. So, 40 years ago, the ship had many little ships that tied themselves to the big one. There was Fred, Aunt Emily, Aunt Art Jr., Robert, Ernie, and Mary. They have yet become individuals in their own right now and are sailing their own seas now with only an occasional parting from Lena and Art. The big ship has sailed bravely through many storms, but who has seen the storms? The ship has sailed in calm waters, and it has sailed in a breeze filled with tenderness and love. Lena, are you ready to get hitched to this man? He won't ever be president. He won't ever be governor. He won't even be chief of police. But he can give you a home, cows to milk, chickens to feed, clothes to wash. He's lonesome, it's true. Is that enough for you, Lena? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Say, I am.
I am.
Arthur, are you ready to take this woman for your wife? She'll never be home if she can find a place to go. Oh, shelter you from these storms. She'll make the food good. The house, it will be warm, and the laughing, it will be also good. Are you ready, Arthur? Say, I am.
I am.
Who is giving this bride away?
I am. I don't want to.
You've got to take that, man. What's the matter, Ma? Didn't you marry me? For that poor girl,
I don't want to.
All right, Arthur, repeat after me. Arthur, will you take this one, Lena, and never complain or sneak out on her at night and make her do all the heavy work? Answer, I will.
I will.
Lena, will you take this one, Arthur, who is so mild-tempered but an awful gadabout too, who never works or has any money for your lawful wedded husband? Say, I will.
I will.
The ring, please. Now hold hands, please, and repeat after me. If you love me as I love you,
if you love me as I love you,
no knife can cut our love in two.
No knife can cut our love in two.
Dark struggle, they have always cried, live, live, turned upon dust and drought and death, their voice has come out of the pine country, always clear, saying, spring will come, it always does. Gather the seeds of this great stalk. Gather the years into one great burden of memory. Gather the morning of the brotherhood of man into one great weight and bundle. Cast hands on this day, a taste of the liberation of all cities and all children and all besieged homes. And the presence of the great mother and the grandmother, of the children, of the succeeding generations of fighters and livers, part of our great folk assuring us of peace and life. We greet you, a great choir, on this day. History's bells are ringing, and you have helped to pull the rope of their ringing. Ringing of the greatest life as you have lived it. For no life, no greater life can be led than by those who help the world fruiting. And secure you stand, delivering the verdant land, the home life, the freedom, life's golden harvest. And alike you stand amidst that harvest. And we greet you and reach across the fire to touch your hand.
I appreciate everybody coming and helping to celebrate this occasion. We hadn't planned it this way, my better half and I. But the rest of the family insisted on a gathering of relatives and friends. I want to thank you all for being here and helping us on this occasion. Probably I better shut up before I spoil what I've said.
Well, I was surprised, and everybody heard it, and nobody thought anything about it. that was something great. He had belonged once to the Communist Party. Well, it was that so long ago, I forgot about it. I am going right into my first million. From then on, nobody can ask me any longer that I can make you, or tell me any longer that I can make you $75 a month, and they'll exploit me to beat the band, use my car, or use my car and with the expenses of my car to do their business for them, like in a store, for instance. Nobody can. Now I can make $100 a month. From Tuesday on, I can make all the money I want. And of course, then I soon will be a millionaire, you know. This would beat everything in America, wouldn't it? So, let's stay here. Now, I have lived a very interesting life. A very interesting life. In my young years, my best companions and my most valuable companions were the German poets. Goethe, Schiller, Heine, Chamisso, all the way down the line, they were always around me, and they are today. So here, 72 years old, I will think of one fella. His name is Goethe. He says, for instance, thinking back now, thinking back of all these many years, wife, boy, life before, childhood, and so forth. I said this, and I will translate it. First, I want to say it for my own happiness, you know, and for my own birthday. Here bring little the builder from a target. Und manche liebe Schattensteine, gleich einer alten, längst verklungenen Sorge, steigt erste Linie und freundliche Mittel auf. So, here I am, 72 years old, dreaming about times gone by. So I said to myself, you are bringing back, you bring the right to build a full target. You are bringing back now my thoughts, beautiful days and happy days.
But they don't you like it? I think it's good.
Oh, sure.
But they don't know you made it.
I did.
But then all them poems I've forgotten.
You never write them down, huh?
And I never wrote them down.
Can't you get them to write them down?
I think I've got a couple I like to spoke about to for my family, you know, to I've got a couple I kinda like to leave for my grandchildren. You know, they will know by the time they're old enough to know that I was right. That I was on the right track and on politics, you know. I figured I'd been coming along for the last 60 years with my eyes wide open. I know what I'm at. I know what's happening and what's going on. And then, you don't want no Republican or Democrat to tell me. I don't give it. I like to say for my... You don't record this now. Let's see. I took unto myself a wife, and together we dwelled in peace. But no matter how we managed, we never found much ease. Though she never brought twins or triplets, they all come one by one. But from the first to the last, never one brought a stitch of clothing or a sinking one. They all compensated with joy, love, and fun. I took some of that joy and stuck around, of course, and brought congratulations and best of wishes. But I had to dig up hard in the cage for the doctor and the nurse, and for their clothing, food, and dishes. And mother, she was kept on a hop For her, there was simply no place to stop. There was cooking and baking and baby care, washing and ironing and dressing hair, just more drugs. And I hear convention that demanded her time and her closest attention. Work and care everywhere, enough to make a saint swear. But an evil word she did not relate. She labored on in love and faith and raised all of the age. Now they're all grown and trained to pull together. Each one in their humble way is helping her nest feather. Mother, seated in an easy chair, she her problems ponder. Father, squatted in another one to the table, gender. Look at him, you may think he's sitting there scheming. But mother, she knows him by heart. She knows he's only dreaming. What little he has got, he's earned by honest labor. And for that he knows it's not a sin, and if we'd all that cooperate in him, we'd all be sure to win. In production as well as distribution, we'd put to run our woe and want and abolish destitution. Now, who would dwell by a good flowing well and suffer with thirst? Or sit there like a fool and drink till the bush? None, not even Bernard McFadden or William Randolph Hearst. A pair of jacks that could be much better, but hardly any worse. For long have we in our fair land with the likes of them and their poison pens been cursed. It's good to be old if you're able to paddle your own canoe. If you lived in a manner that sweet recollections keeps presenting themselves to view and thought of life, no, and still enjoying good meals prepared by that same good old wife of yours, and it's swell to have a lot of years stacked up behind you to view and review, and fought a lifelong battle for the underdog, the workers, the oppressed, the many, against the powerful privilege still, and been blessed with pluck, grit, faith, hope, and understanding to help to shield your mind from slander, hate, and scorn. Then, my friend, you can be glad it was years ago since you was born. You can be glad it was years ago. But with faith, hope, and understanding, what to shield your mind from slander, hate, and scorn, then, my friend, you can be glad it was years ago since you was born. I worked 16 hours daily by the second job I got after I worked for an uncle, and it's kind of wanted to see how much he could get out of me, you know, for a few dollars a month, about $10.
A month?
A month, yeah. And then the time got a little harder when I got through there. I worked for $8 a month. I worked 16 hours. All of that took a little longer.
A day?
A day, yes, sir. He had three horses. He's a widower doing his own cooking. He's a good cook, though. He was a good cook. He had worked on a riverboat for years and in 30 days and let us start it. You see, we've had good meals. That is all right. Good. But believe me, if I didn't earn them $12 a month,
yes.
We had three horses. Well, we got up there at 4:30 in the morning, And I went out and helped them slop the pinks and milk the cows, you know. And then I done some other little work while he got breakfast and got the harness up. And we had breakfast before 6. Then I had to take the first horse, go in the field, work till 6, and come in at 10, you see. And take another horse, work 2 hours to noon, see. Then the horse was resting while I was eating, and take him out 2 hours after dinner.
We changed horses,
but we didn't change the
well. The horses were organized.
Well, the horses had belonged to the boss, and I didn't. That's the way that was. Well, that horse, of course, he got the hottest part of the day, so that wasn't any too good for the second horse. He worked 2 hours from 10 to 12, you know, and then from 1 to 3, and then he'd come in and get the other one. Or sometimes he'd bring them out, you know.
You wouldn't.
Not too easy. And it went along till it's hot, you know, in July. And come in, and the field happened to be here, come out pretty close to the house, and he come out. He said, you're coming along like an old woman. Well, I said that I feel that way too. I got mad. I quit that night. I had the little $8 coming. I certainly knew how to spend. I went there and Oakland bought me a ticket out to Sutton, you know, in Red River Valley. And I had several cows, you know, milking my favorite cow or something. Well, of course, you'd have a picture, you know, in your mind. Then you frame it. And I don't know, I kind of thought then how the cow helped me. I'll explain that to you. I thought electricity or something made my brain work a little better.
That
way.
Cow and me?
It could be.
I can't write. I need a cow.
That's the best poem I ever made. I think I lost. And I said to myself after I meet, boy, you know, it's a good one. It could fill my eyes with tears, and I said, how could I make it? And then the choir come out of the barn and howled, you know, Peterson won. Boy, that was the knockout.
It's all around your head.
It broke. And I haven't been able to pick it up. You know? Song come out, God Bless America. I kind of liked it. But the more I thought about that song, the less I thought of it. And I wish to goodness I wish I could fix up songs like that man can. But that's impossible. But I'll try to make a poem. Yeah, that one. So here we go. God bless America, sang a gay old chap with many bright feathers in his cap. But as a thoughtless and ungrateful child, for God had blessed America with everything worthwhile. God bless America, the time-worn and warped politicians, while they're out for vote sufficient, beginning to be wise statesmen, good public watchdogs, that never raised a finger to false or mighty money-powered hogs, but have assisted in monopolizing these blessings that God aimed for us all. Yes, God had blessed America with a wise and lavish hand. It's rich, beautiful, glorious, and grand. Though we was here by the billions, we'd still all be millionaires, just counting the raw resources that God hath placed is for us all and our welfare. I might be stretching it a little bit there on the billions, but if all of these resources was put to use, you'd be surprised what a mass of people this country would support. It would be far beyond your imagination. You know, we haven't had a scratch this earth yet. They tell us we're getting overpopulated the way we do things. Of course, it's too many of us here now. If they're going to leave most of it in.
Even a lot
of this poor sand, you know, I believe that the time will come when that will be valuable.
It's not only the waste of material resources
home from the battlefields will be called. We'll have more good soldiers of courage and understanding than the world ever had before, and will declare war on all evil, including wars. We'll slay these monsters of greed, deceit, and hate with bombshells of truth, wisdom, and understanding, with justice, love, hope, and faith. Ah, these demons from the dark dungeons of greed can't face the rays of light, nor the blast of truth, or the force of reason, and the evil thoughts and ways will perish in the warm, soft waters from the brook of justice, love, hope, and faith. Yes, tell the world, we'll help to answer the Lord's prayer and banish a lot of needless war, want, and care.